So we've started this little tradition of inviting people over to our house every Sunday after church. We make a huge batch of waffles, and as many people want to come, we've got a waffle for them, and it's kind of just grown organically.
In the beginning, you know, we were just making waffles for our family. We've got four kids and roommates living on our third floor. And then over time, it just kept growing. And
30 to 50 on a big week, maybe. People love the waffles. We're trying to instill into our kids, and I think my parents did this well, that home is not always meant to be some castle or sanctuary where we hole up and remove ourselves from the world and get privacy and have this isolated little bubble. It's a resource we've been given that we can use to invite people in and make them feel loved, make them feel welcome, make them feel cared for.
The root is we always did dinner together as a family, not always, but almost every night. So it really became a thing that pulled us together.
But we both grew up in families that made family dinner a priority.
Yeah, I was the oldest of nine, so we just had big Sunday dinners all our life, you know? It was wonderful. I know that being a Gautrod gave me a refuge and a something to sink my teeth into, that I was always part of that, and that was very comforting.
It's something that I was raised around. My parents definitely modeled that generosity, opening your home, feeding people, being unfazed by the mess that comes into your home when you invite a bunch of people. And I mean the actual mess that people make, but also that people's lives are messy sometimes. And we're inviting that into our home. And my parents have always been just unfazed by that. I mean, they gather people all the time.
We look at ourselves as home missionaries. So we can share Jesus to people that don't know Jesus.
We wanted people to see a Christian family. How do they love each other? How do they connect? And it's just fun to just let people know, hey, you're welcome. We love you, you know.
For Joel and Carrie doing waffles, we didn't know they were doing that at first. And then we didn't know the scope of it. And we were over there recently on a Sunday and we're so surprised.
I'm probably overly sensitive about not guilting my kids into stuff, you know, like, I hope you didn't do that just because you think I want you to. Mm-hmm. I want you to want to, you know. And so to see it just happen without, it's sweet to see him just pick it up.
It's been fun to see.
Making people feel welcome in a home that's lived in is something that I grew up around and something that I want to model for my children, something that we'll not stop doing. I don't know what form it will take in the future. But for now, we love waffles.
I'm going to talk about long-term, living for the long-term. You know, every time I give a talk here, anybody talks at Crossroads, there's a percentage of us that are dialed in like, oh man, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. And then there's a percentage of us like, meh. I do think, no matter where you are family-wise, no matter where you are in your relationships, there's something here for you. So hang on, dig in, and I'm pretty jacked about this. Let's pray before I go any further. God, I ask that you would give us long-term perspective today, perspective that lasts beyond quarterly results or even another year of our life, perspective that looks into decades and lifetimes in the future. I know this is a foreign topic for us to think about because nothing in our world conditions us this way. And so I feel like we're in the right place, the right time to hear something like this. So help me to be clear and helpful. And God, thank you for the privilege and honor it is to talk about your transcendent truth. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Yeah. The world's current richest man, Jeff Bezos, Amazon fame. Nobody thought that Amazon was going to work. Everyone said, well, they're not turning any profits. It's not working at all. This is just smoke and mirrors. That's what people said decades ago. And I don't think anybody is saying that now as Amazon has turned upside down the way retail operates, right, wrong, or otherwise. Another thing we don't understand about Jeff Bezos is this massive $43 million investment he's making of his own personal money into a clock. Yes, a clock. He's investing $43 million of his own money into a clock inside of a mountain in Texas that will tick once a year. Once a year, it's a 10,000 year clock that will tick once a year. This clock is massive. It is 60,000 pounds, 80 feet tall. It ticks once a year. It bongs one time a century, bong, and a cuckoo comes out one time every millennium. Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. Yeah, he's investing in, and there's a whole group of people trying to make something that they are never going to experience, that they are never going to see. Why would they do that? Well, let's just hear from the director of this nonprofit what he says. He says, as a species, we are pathologically short-sighted. The clock is as much about the present as it is about the people of the future. We want to put a dent in the root cause by changing the way people think. And how do we think? We think about the present always, right now. Right, like now. Maybe at the end of a quarter, we think. Maybe at the end of a year. Maybe rarely a decade. Hardly ever a life. How about after your life is gone? You think about that. Everything in our world is short-term and disposable. And so much of it, I like it. I do. I like it. I love that I was in the generation that I could be a kid who came home from school and I could use a microwave. That's right, a microwave. My generation, the first generation, come home from school, make some cup of noodles in a microwave. Some of you are like, what's the big deal? Let me tell you what, that was a big deal when the microwave came out. Because I don't know how we made water boil before. I don't even know it's possible to make water boil without a microwave. But man, that microwave just bam, makes, I love it. And I'm so impatient. If I put something in there for a minute, I gotta stop it at 58 seconds. I can't wait 2 more seconds. Because I can't think long-term past a minute. You know, it's the way I think. I want it immediate. I want it now. Our culture is all about immediate now, which is why we're all about a youth-obsessed culture. Our culture is youth-obsessed. Everything is about the young. And I like that. I have a lot of young attributes. I want to stay young in all the right ways. I like junior high humor. So yes, I am very young in those regards. But I also recognize that the older I get, the longer term I'm living, there's less and less of culture that's made for me. I mean, what is the last romance you saw between a couple 60-year-olds? I'm 53, by the way, not 60. What's the last one you saw? Not that old now. What is the last blockbuster that you ever saw that centered around themes that older people could relate to? Older people, we have more disposable income than you 20 and 30-something-year-olds. We like movies just as much. They're just very, very little that's made for us because all of our culture is obsessed about youth and young. I like that to a degree, but I want us to think, am I obsessed about to the point where I don't think long term? I'm not way out. When I was 16 years old, I came into relationship with Christ. I understood for the first time the difference between the Christian religion and relationship with Christ. Two totally different things. They can go together, but they're not exactly together. When I came into relationship with Christ and not just affiliated with the Christian religion, man, my world changed. I had joy. I had perspective. There was a point. I mean, it was, geez. So I thought there's no way that I could do anything better with my life than help teenagers figure out what I just figured out, or what someone else helped me figure out. So I said, that's what I'm gonna do the rest of my life. I'm gonna go into student ministry. So that's what I did. I went and I started doing that and it was fun, had some wins on the board. And then I started getting frustrated because every 4 to 6 years, the kids I was working with, they would cycle out and they would be gone. They would cycle out and they would leave. And I'm like, man, this is a really good ministry position or job if you're okay for starting from scratch every 4 years. That's all the further out you can go. And then these kids would go off and do great things elsewhere, and I had nothing to be a part of it. And so that's where I thought, man, if I could get into a ministry spot where I could be with people over the long haul of their life, that would be fun. And so that's how Crossroads started. And that's also why it feels very frequently like a student ministry, because student ministries are vibrant. There's things happening. And it feels like a student ministry. It's vibrant, except I get to be around people for the long haul, whether you're 8 years old or whether you're 80. Do you make decisions around the long haul? What's that mean for you? I want to talk about a word that very few of us understand, very few of us are aspiring to, but it's become an increasingly important word. The word is patriarch. Patriarch. Now, it's going to be awkward for me to go back and forth between like patriarch, matriarch. So whenever I say patriarch, if you're a woman, just insert in your own mind matriarch. It'll be less cumbersome for me to say patriarch, matriarch, the whole thing. Okay, are we cool on that? All right. And some of you are going, all right, I don't know why I picked the wrong time to come to church. Patriarch, matriarch. Yeah. See, I said some of you would check out, but don't check out. Because if you're checking out because of that, there could be something spiritually wrong. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, there's what's known as the Hall of Faith. The Hall of Faith. It just goes through and it highlights all these heroes in the Old Testament. Says this guy did this, and then this woman did this, and then, and it goes through this thing saying these people are amazing. Look how wonderful they lived their life. And then at the very end of it, look what it says. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised. So they were thinking so long haul that they didn't even get the things that were promised them in their lifetime, but having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. If you choose to be a person who's about long term, not just this quarter, this week, this year, this earnings statement, if you choose to live long term, you will feel like a foreign alien because everything in our world is quick, consumptive, immediate satisfaction. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Let me ask you something. Would God be ashamed to call, that you would call him your God? Like, we don't like to think about God that way. Well, God, I don't know. Let's just read the Bible here. Therefore, he is not ashamed to be. Who is it that God is ashamed to be called their God? In the context of this, he's ashamed to be called the God of people who only think short term. He's ashamed to be called the God of people who are only about how good I feel this day, this week, this month, even this life. He is proud to be called the God of the people who have a big vision or going someplace. And I'm thinking past their lifetime. How do you think past your lifetime? You think past your lifetime by thinking people. People. The most important thing that you and I will ever invest in, will ever engage in, is people. Most important thing. People. Bar none. Because people will always outlive you. Because people will always give value. I see more and more people who are like bringing their dogs into breweries and stuff like that. That's cool, I guess. I mean, I like dogs. I wish I could have taken my dog in a brewery. I'd never take my dog in right now. He's too dumb. He would just, he couldn't handle the thing. But let me tell you something. No dog has ever impacted a life. I know, you know, oh, they saved life. Yes, they have. Yes, they have. Okay, I like dogs. Remember, I like dogs. But no dog has ever left the world better than when he lived his life. No dog will give you meaning. No dog will ever change your depends. It's coming around. It's coming around. Why in the world would anybody have kids when you can have a dog? Why in the world would anybody, we've all heard this, oh my gosh, every kid is like, you know, however umpteen gazillion dollars. I don't know why. You know why you would have a kid? You know why you'd be a patriarch? You know why you'd be a matriarch? Because you're about the long haul and God's not ashamed to be called the God of people who are about the long haul. This is a long haul project of mine. It's a table that I built. This table came from wood that was at our base camp property where man camp, woman camp, couples camp, college camp takes place. It went over to Crossroads East Side. It's in their atrium. This was stuff that was left over. It says, so I said, I'll take that thing. Thank you very much. I go ahead and scarf that wood up. And of course, when you do a new project at home, you have to have a new tool. So I went and bought this awesome planer. And it is really sweet. All this wood, just it was gnarly and nasty looking like this. I'll tell you what, you take it through this sucker. Some of you are really freaking out. I don't have any safety glasses on right now. I know, so I'm gonna do it again. You know, when I put time into making this, it took me months to figure out the design of this table, months to do this table, months to just glue it and seal it, and a long time. And the reason I did wasn't because, and it was this exact wood that's in this, it wasn't because I couldn't afford a table this big. My time in this is way, way more valuable than what it would have cost to do this. What it was I wanted something that was built with my hands that would last from generation to generation. I see this table being passed on to kids and their kids' kids and their kids' kids, and I made it the size it was because I forecasted for with my three kids that I have and them having grandkids. Like, how big can I get it? Two people on either end. My last table didn't have two people. How big can I get it and fit in the dining room in which I am? Because significant conversations happen around these tables. Critiques about whether someone should marry somebody or not. We have those open discussions in our family, like, hey, let's talk about you. We always say, hey, no one gets married until we all get to weigh in on that. Told my kids that, and that's just part of a family thing at the very, very beginning. And we've had tears over some of those conversations before. We've had life-altering conversations that have happened around this table, as long as just a lot of fun. It is about the long-term thinking, made of white oak, something that has been growing for a long, long time. What is going on in your life to where you're thinking a long time? And I'll tell you what, the more you think long term and the more you live long term, the more powerful your life is going to be. What do I mean by thinking and living long term? I mean doing today what I'll be glad that I did 10 years from now. That's thinking long term. Am I doing today what I'll be glad I did 10 years from now? Am I enduring and sucking it up and enduring through difficulty today in a way that I'll be thankful that I did 10 years from now? I had a very sobering thing that happened to me just a couple years ago. Birthdays have always kind of been birthdays don't really mean that much to me. 16, of course, meant a lot, right? 16, like, that's a big one, you get to drive. 18 is supposed to be a big one, like, whatever. I mean, they say I'm an adult, but I don't really get any new responsibilities. That's no big deal, right? 21, you get some perks with 21 if you like alcohol. And then after that, you know, birthdays lead you to reflect. When I was 35, that was a difficult birthday for me. I think it was my first difficult birthday because I was 35, halfway through the 30s decades to 40, which of course when you're in your 20s and 30s, 40s is like your Loserville. If you're in your 40s, man, you got issues. You may as well, you should thank the good Lord for every 5 minutes you live your life, because you're 40-year-olds, man, they're out of it. So when I'm 35, it dawned on me, oh my gosh, I've always thought myself as a young leader. I'm no longer a young leader. Now I'm not young anymore. I'm like coming into my prime, and it really freaked me out. Because I thought, man, when you're a young leader, there's all kind of good stuff that goes with that. There's stuff like people expect you to make mistakes because you're young. It's like your best days are in front of you because you're young. Now, are these my best days right now? Are these my best days? It just really freaked me out. And then 50 hit. That was like, geez, the death toll, the death bell rings. My gosh. Right around when I was 50, I had a woman come up to me after a talk I'd given at one of our Crossroads sites. She came up to me and she said to me, Brian, I just want you to know, she pointed over where she normally sits. There was two daughters she had over there, about, I don't know what they were, about 11, 12, somewhere in there, 13. So I want you to know that myself and my daughters, we come here every weekend because my girls need to look at you and they need to see a father, and you're my girl's father. I looked at her like, I don't think so. And as she explained, she said, my husband left us a couple years ago. He left the faith that we had. He left our family. He left it. And so their worlds are just shattered. And when they can come on a weekend and they can look at you and they can say, there's a guy that's living for the long haul, is basically what you said. There is a guy who's living consistently, and I just want to thank you for being a father figure to my kids. That would really freak me out because I don't even know her kids. As far as I know, I've never spoken with them. And I'm a poor substitute for a father when I don't even know your name, we haven't talked. But if I'm the best you got, you can have me. I've been doing some working with juvenile delinquents or people on probation. What is one thing they all have in common? The lack of a patriarch. The lack of a father. It's the one thing over and over and over. The lack of a man who's been consistent over time and has lived for the long haul and has put away his petty desires, put away his selfishness, and has tried to leave it behind. There is a need for patriarchs and matriarchs. And the only ones who are ever going to be patriarchs and matriarchs are the ones who are going to endure through the difficulty right now and are going to build something that they're not going to taste fruit of, maybe not in their lifetime. Maybe not in their lifetime. I had such a good time the other night. We had a celebration with everybody who had made I'm In commitments and made commitments and fulfilled those commitments. It was an amazing time. Just celebrating all those names. My gosh, it was a high. Can I hear from anybody who was there how great that evening was? It was amazing. It was amazing. And all of us were just swept away in the grace of God because we thought, man, we endured something for three years earlier, and it was all for people. It was all for people. And the joy that we had for the long-term thing of 3 years was huge. It was massive. By the way, we still have some people finishing, and we want to be able to celebrate you when you finish. We've got people who are in through the Obsessed journey, and that's going to be doing this year. We're looking forward to having other celebrations for those who are in for the long haul about blessing people and complete, because we want to reward. Our church should be one place we should reward long-term thinking and long-term behavior, because nowhere else in the world are we getting strokes for that. Everything else in the world is to think immediate. Right now, Titus chapter 2, verses 1 and following says, older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. Urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. So here we have a delineation between older men, older women, how we get there to be an honorable people. And it would be great if we were a culture that valued our old. We don't value our old because we're all about the now immediate and not the old. I ran across a study or a theory just this last week that says that maybe one of the reasons why Alzheimer's is running rampant in our culture, in our Western culture, where it doesn't run rampant in Eastern cultures, is because we've convinced ourselves in our culture that when I get old, I'm less valuable. We've convinced ourselves that when I get old, I have less to offer. Where in Eastern cultures, that's not the understanding. In Eastern cultures, the older you get, the more you have to offer, because the more real world experience you have, and the more value you actually give to society. With us, no. Absolutely the opposite. It's the young that brings the value. Even though the young makes the most mistakes, the young has the least experience, and the young has built the least things of long-lasting value. Is it any wonder? Well, we feel like my life's done when we've been brainwashed by a culture that's all about the short term. And I'm telling you, if you want to be about a God who's excited about you and not ashamed for you, using God's words, we need to be about the long term. Making decisions now will be a blessing long term. So I was inspired when I read Elon Musk's biography. Elon Musk is arguably the greatest entrepreneur of our time, maybe of all time, radically changing the auto industry, changing the transportation industry, got Hyperloop thing going on, changing the space industry. Guy is just like crazy, crazy, crazy. There's nothing I've ever read about him that says he has any soft spot for God, any sense of spirituality. Maybe he does. I just never read anything about that. And yet, this guy has six kids. And he has six kids. And why does he have six kids? He has six kids because he says, I want my life to last and I need to develop some smart kids to bless the world and I'm gone. Six kids. This is a guy who understands long-term. He understands designing and working on something that would get him to Mars, even though it's probably not gonna happen in his lifetime. He's still working on it because he's about the long-term. And he says, my kids are the long-term. Of course our birth rates are going down in our culture. Of course they are, because we're all about the short-term. America would cease to exist if we didn't have immigrants. We're trying to keep all the immigrants out. We're like, hey, no, we all wanna die. We don't even want to replace ourselves. We all want to die. Well, if we're immigrants, we wouldn't be replacing ourselves because we can't think long-term enough to think how we impact the world with a life. Man, when I got turned on to having a kid, it was when I realized it was awesome. My student ministry, I could work 4 years with somebody, but man, I could have a kid and I could work with this kid from the day I changed her first diaper all the way through when I give her away from marriage, all the way through holding her first child, all the way through. I can develop somebody spiritually that long? Sign me up. Sign me up. That's hard work. It's expensive, but it's long-term and it's fulfilling. Nelson Henderson says, the true meaning of life is to plant trees under whose shade you do not expect to sit. Planting shade under whose planting trees under whose shade we do not expect to sit. Mrs. Geiger was a Sunday school teacher I had at my parents' church. Hated that church, bored me out of my gourd. Like, it was awful. But I tell you, Mrs. Geiger, I still remember the story she said in Sunday school. I have no idea if Mrs. Geiger had a husband. I don't know. I have no idea if Mrs. Geiger had any kids. I really have no idea. All I remember is she told Bible stories I had not heard before in a way that was winsome and compelling, and it served as a foundation for my Bible reference that served as a foundation for anything I've ever given you. Anything I've ever given you has been influenced apart by Mrs. Geiger. And I have no idea if she had any kids. She was growing trees that were going to give shade that she had no idea. I'm sure she's dead by now. I love that. You might be past the age of being able to have kids. By the way, you might have not been thinking patriarch, matriarch, and you might have been blowing it, but right now you can start new today. You can start new today right now. Think long-term right now. Forget about the past, think long-term right now. I'm inspired by some people who, like Jerry and Betty Rushing, they're in their 70s, Jerry's on our board, never able to have kids of their own, and they are a father and mother figure to a lot of people because they build into people. Judd and Danny Watkins have a hand in man camp, couples camp, because it's a way for them to parent people, even though they're in their 40s, a way for them to parent people, because it's all about people. We make asks for Kids Club. The ones who stick in Kids Club and volunteer there, they stick because they get like, wow, I'm actually affecting a child. Yeah, there's Cheerios all over the place, but I'm actually planting a tree here that will cast shade. Friends, all of us want our life to last. All of it, all of it. I tell you, the one thing that will last is people, is kids. Crossroads will not last. I hope it lasts until I die. I'm building it so it'll last. I am. I'm building it so it'll last. But I don't know. I don't know. Who knows what could happen? Tornadoes could come and wipe out every building we have. I have no idea. But I know my kids are going to last. That effort there is going to, anything I've done with you in your life, it's going to last. This is how a patriarch feels. Let's talk patriarch, because some of you might be deluded when I talk patriarch, that patriarch equals grandpa. No. Anybody can be a grandpa who's old and has grandkids. I'm not talking about being a grandpa. I'm talking about being a patriarch. You don't actually know someone is a patriarch until they die and you see the legacy of their life. That's how you know. Like, there's patriarchs named in the New Testament portion of the Bible, talking about who are in the Old Testament part of the Bible. Like, New Testament looking back saying, these patriarchs back here. But the New Testament is not calling those folks patriarchs because don't know until they're dead, really, and what the impact of their life is. In the book of Romans chapter 9, verse 5, it says this, to them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. To them belong the patriarchs, the matriarchs. Here's the difference between a grandpa and a patriarch. A grandpa is physically mature. He's not going to grow anymore. A patriarch is spiritually mature or spiritually maturing. It's about their spiritual depth. It's about their gravitas. What is gravitas? We'll come back to this table in just a minute. What is gravitas? Gravitas is the weight of your life. Gravitas is every time you endure, your character gets built. Gravitas, but every time you do something for 10 years out and you stick at it and you go and you go and you hit that 10 years and you did it, something comes to you. Every time you say no to the things you should be saying no to, every time you're creating trees that are going to give shade, every time a job is well done, you're building your gravitas, you're building your weight. And so a patriarch happens when he's lived his life for decades, he's lived a congruent life with his God for decades, to he gets to the point where there's just a mass about him. There's just a weightiness. And around that weightiness, there is an orbit. That's why things orbit. That's why the moon orbits the earth, because the earth has the mass. It has the gravitas, if you will. And patriarchs have people who are always around them because of their spiritual maturity, because of their depth of character. People are, grandpas, oh, it's nice to see grandpa. Oh, wow, good to see grandpa again. You're not longing to be around grandpa because grandpa doesn't have the gravitas. Nice guy, but may not necessarily be a patriarch. A grandpa is retired. A patriarch is working. Grandpas come and visit you because they take off and they go down to Florida, they retire, or they go to the mountains, someplace where they just don't work. A patriarch never stops working. He may stop earning a paycheck, but he never stops working. Gosh, Moses is a patriarch. He gets his calling at like age 80. That's when he starts a new work life at age 80. Patriarchs are going, hey man, I'm here, it's time to add value. Grandpas want less responsibility. They want less on their plate. Patriarchs want more responsibility. They take more responsibility. One of the things I've learned with my kids is, stupid me in terms of being brainwashed by the American way. I thought that, okay, once my kids were 18, good, you know, done. I'm done. Like, go live my life. No, it doesn't work that way. You know why? Because all of us want to be well-led. All of us do. And by I say us, I mean those who are 53 and we want our parents still leading us. The problem isn't that someone is leading us. The problem is someone's not leading us well. Everybody wants to be led well, and a patriarch understands this, so he never stops. I made a lot of mistakes with my kids, especially my last child, Mariah. I made a lot of mistakes with her. If there's any parenting advice I'm going to give you today, this is it. The only parenting advice I'll give you today. If you're going to have kids, once you start, keep going until you want to stop. Don't like take, oh, I'm gonna take a 5-year break. Don't 5-year breaks. If you're gonna have kids, like, get them out, pop them out, and then like you're done. Because what happens is if you take a 5-year break, like I did between the second and third kid, that 5-year break, you age and you get more tired. Like, oh, daddy, read me another chapter. No more chapters tonight. Time for you to go to bed, you know. You're just tired. Like first couple kids, like 16 birthdays were a big deal for them. Like I had my oldest daughter, her 16th birthday. She had her 16th birthday. I hired one of our musicians to write her a song. I said, here's the things, write the song. We recorded it and popped it in. It was great. Mariah didn't get any of that. She got nothing, you know, because I was tired. I was tired of being creative. So I just realized, man, I got one last shot at a banner birthday. It's her 21st. I got one last shot at it. So I'm gonna really go over this. So I've made, you can become legal drinking age. So I was like, I like to have the first drink with you legally that you're going to have in public. So I've done that with other kids. It's just something local, not that big of a deal. But I decided to make up for lost time with Mariah. So I said, hey, we're going to Vegas. That's where we're going to Vegas. So I'm taking her to Vegas, and actually my other kids too. I said, hey, if you can fly and get your own place, I'll buy the drinks. Yeah, it's gonna be an expensive one. It is. But here's the thing. I'm not pro Vegas. I'm not trying to say you should do that. Here's what I'm trying to say is I'm still working right now. I'm still working trying to figure out how to lead my kids well. How to build a legacy that's going to last. It doesn't end. A grandpa is a hugger. A patriarch is a mentor. He's always giving out wisdom, or she's always giving out. A grandpa is taken care of by his family. A patriarch takes care of his extended family. Patriarch keeps adding people in. People who's under his or her fold. A patriarch or a matriarch is resistant to change. A patriarch is leading the change. Because a patriarch has been around long enough to know things are always changing. So to think that they're not going to change is stupid. I know better than anybody else. So I'm going to be leading in change. A grandpa is passive, allows life to happen to him, allows conversation to come to him. A patriarch is directive, directs things in people's lives, directs the conversations. A grandpa is in the back seat. A patriarch is in the front seat. A grandpa spends a lot of time looking in the rearview mirror. A patriarch looks through the windshield. Rearview mirror is like this big. It's all it is, this big. Man, grandpas love it. And some of us in here, you're only 25, but you're like a great grandpa because you love looking the past. You love like going through your high school yearbooks, and you love like, dude, that's rear view. That's never going to do you anything. Grandpa's, oh, remember back in the old days when we drank molasses together, whatever. They love looking. Whereas a patriarch, no, I'm looking at the windshield. It's this big, huge thing. Why would I look in this little itty-bitty thing like this that's going to affect nothing back there? I'm looking through the windshield. I'm focusing on the future. I'm going forward. When you do these things, the person, your gravitas, your weightiness, the orbit that you have around your life will increase because you're acting like God. Because God is the weightiest thing there's going. God is known as being glory. We sang a song earlier. We'll go from glory to glory. You know what glory means? Glory is the Hebrew word kabod, which is weightiness. God is weighty. He's heavy. He's obese. He's obese. He's so big. His character is just, man, it is intense. And there is a revolving orbit around him, no matter how many people try to explain him away. Cannot happen. You cannot explain his weight. And what's happened throughout the dawn of time, and more you become like God, and more you start having his values and think like him instead of the way the other short-term losers think, the more people are going to want to be in your life. The more impact your life is going to have. The more you're going to have to live for. The less you're going to fear death. Like, bring it on. I'm ready for death. I'm ready for something new because I've been living for this. Because I'm going to have a whole new life that's going to start with that. And I've got all these little saplings that I've been developing because the most important thing on planet Earth is people. I was moved greatly and reminded of it while I was putting this table together. But what happened at New College, Oxford, it was established in 1379. 1379 it was established, and they built this massive like Harry Potter dining room. Who knows, it might have been the inspiration for Harry Potter, right? A couple decades ago, some guy, I think it was in the 70s or 80s, some guy's up there, and he's just kind of poking around the beams and found out that two massive timbers that were holding up the thing in the center were beetle infested. And now they got a crisis because where in the world are you going to get something yo big, hardwood? Because guess what? We don't grow hardwood any longer because it doesn't show up in the quarterly statements. You can't make any money by planting an oak tree right now. You won't make any money for past your lifetime. So of course, we're all about reforestation and planting pine trees because I could just cut them down and make more money off them. But you know, we don't think long-term enough to be thinking hardwoods, like white pine that's made this table right here. So they thought, what are we gonna do? We can't, you literally cannot get those beams anymore. So they're thinking, we don't wanna put I-beams up and wrap them. We will if we have to, but and they said, hey, wait a minute, our college possesses hundreds and hundreds of acres all over the country, and we actually have a forester on staff. Let's see if we've got any of our natural trees that could do. So they called this forester in, and they say to him, said, hey, this is what we're looking for. Do you think? And he said, aye. We was wondering when you'd be asking. Apparently, every successive generation of foresters since 1349 has let the next generation know that someday these beams are going to go bad, and these are the ones that are planted for them in the future. And so they went down, and they cut them down, the ones that were planted for just that thing, because white pine has an average beetle life of 300 years, I'm told, and replaced them. Friends, that is long-term thinking. That is saying, I'm going to plant something right now that's going to grow and is going to be shade for people for a long, long time. Man, hey, let's stop having God be ashamed of us. Let's start being different. Let's start getting out of our fast food lifestyles. Let's start living for the long haul. Let's enjoy and squeeze every moment of every minute we can. Yes, let's live for the day. Let's do that. Let's take advantage of things. And let's take advantage of the long-term haul of having a weight, gravitas of a patriarch, of a matriarch, being somebody who has substance, who's got character, who's standing the test of time. We're going to give a memento of white oak today for anyone who wants to stand the test of time. It comes off the exact same land that this wood was done. I cut up some of them myself. And it's going to be for anybody who says, starting right now, I'm going to be matriarch thinking. I'm going to be patriarch thinking. I'm going the long haul.